Very good morning, everyone. It is Tuesday, May 23, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, and wherever you are listening, hope you're having a nice morning. And, well, the Origin squads, they're in camp, so all the talk about the selection smooths to the talk about the game. Wednesday week, Adelaide Oval, crucial game, I think particularly for New South Wales, considering Game 2 is at Suncorp, the decider this year. In Sydney, a huge story in the AFL broke last night. Damien Hardwick, Richmond coach, set to stand down, it's believed today, and could coach his final game there at the Tigers this weekend. Incredible career there at Richmond. 13 and a half years, three flags. This was a club that was on its knees, was laughed at for so long. Once a perennial powerhouse, but then some very, very dark years. And again, Hardwick was someone they could have, at one stage, they could have got rid of him. They stuck with him and he led them to the promised land. But it looks like he's just burnt out. He's only 50 years of age, by the way, but has been there, as I mentioned, for quite some time. Lozen, morning to you, mate. How are you on this Tuesday morning?
Not too bad, boys. Not too bad. Just taking it easy. Saw the sides yesterday for State of Origin announced. Both very strong teams. Don't think there was too many surprises other than possibly for New South Wales. Tevita Pengai Jr. And, of course, we spoke yesterday when we got the news late in our program that Kalyn Ponga looked like missing out along with Dane Gagai. So they were probably two lucky omissions for... Unlucky omissions for Queensland. But overall, I think they're strong squads. Can't wait for the game in Adelaide. It should be a terrific contest. Chock full of superstars and aggressive players. Just what you want in game one of an Origin series.
Pup, morning, mate.
Morning, buddy. Morning, Loz. Morning, all.
I think your Lakers are going to the abyss this morning as well.
Trouble.
3-0 down.
Yeah, we're in trouble, the Lakers. Yeah. Need LeBron to find something special to have any chance, I reckon. But yeah, I'd hate to say it, but I think we're in deep trouble as well. You know who is in deep trouble? Kalyn Ponga. Listening to Billy Slater speak yesterday, what it has reinforced to me is that I don't know how Kalyn plays at the highest level anymore. Or again, and he's one head knock away from retirement. That's what that tells me.
It's a genuine concern.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. Like, and I really feel for Kalyn Ponga. I think he's an amazing talent. What he's done for Queensland has been freakish. I think everyone wants to see him. You know, he does play unbelievably for the Knights at stages. Everyone just wants to see that consistency across a full season, but. Mate, to lose someone like that out of the game, if he has another head knock and you lose a superstar like that so young in his career, that'd be devastating.
Just a reminder, Billy Slater dropped the man of the match in the last Origin game. Game 3 last year. Who was cleared after that knock on the weekend? Billy Slater dropped him. It's incredible.
Yeah, well,
they don't want to take the risk, Loz.
That's exactly right. They don't want to take the risk, and I can understand that. And the fact that I suppose he's only had a couple of games back. You know, he's only had a couple of games back. He suffered that knock on the weekend, went to the HIA area, was tested and got cleared, but they were probably still not confident that he's in the best possible shape he can be for an Origin game. So I think the fact that Reece Walsh has been playing so good makes it easier. You've got a young guy there that's, you know, playing good football. He's fearless, which you need at Origin level. I spoke about him yesterday, how he's got an error in him, but he's one of those players that he won't sort of dwell on that error. He gets right back into the contest. So that's a good mindset to have at that level, in particular in an Origin game.
Un-Queensland-like, this selection, I reckon. Un-Queensland-like. Yeah. Like, normally, and this is what I said yesterday about, I'll never forget that Australian cricket team that I walked into as a youngster. It was harder to be dropped out of it. Once you got in, like you earned the right to be in there. Once you got in, you had to stuff it up to get out. I think Queensland I've always felt Queensland have selected like that. Like Reece Walsh might be a superstar, but you have to, unfortunately, you have to wait your turn. That's how I've always seen Queensland select their teams. And okay, Kalyn Ponga goes and has two brilliant games for the night. You're not playing the second game. You probably have to now give Reece Walsh the entire series, the three games.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I think that with Kalen, the one I'm stunned with, I can understand Kalen because of the head knocks. I really do. I understand that. But Dane Gagai is the one that I'm probably more shocked with because he has never let Queensland down. And he's been a veteran of that team and a leader. Okay. And they've made the decision to get rid of him for a Murray Taulagi and a Hemiso Tabuai Fadau. Now, Hemiso's playing fullback, playing good. Hasn't had a lot of experience in the centres. I know he's played Origin, one Origin game there in 2021, I think it was, out of necessity. They had plenty of injuries. So for me, that's the big omission. Kalen's a massive omission, but I understand the reasoning behind it because I don't think they're confident that he's recovered and looks confident in himself because we've only seen that glimpse of him. And I thought, well, once they saw that glimpse of him 2 weeks ago, that'd be just him straight back into the team. But obviously they've seen something in his performance.
I reckon it's no different to Tommy T. I see it. I know the injury is different, a head knock versus a hamstring tear, but it's no different to Tommy T. We've seen one unbelievable, well, we've seen one normal Tommy T performance this season, and that was last week. So if that's good enough for New South Wales, mate, there's every chance he can tear his hand. I know a head knock's different.
Yeah, I think head knocks are different to hemis.
I understand. I'm not comparing that, but I'm saying the risk of re-injuring something is always a risk.
Yeah, but Tom's had more consistent time on the field now.
But it's been poor. Hasn't been good.
Well, it hasn't been by his standards. His numbers have still been good, but he hasn't been great by his standards.
And if Pong is saying he's fit, he's 100% ready to rock, then I can't believe Queensland can leave him. Because, again, that's all I'm saying. I guess what I'm disappointed is because I feel like I actually can't believe he's that close to retirement. I reckon he's one head knock away from career overloss. I think if they're saying he's not, it's too much of a risk to pick him with because of the head knocks, and he's saying he's 100% fit, that's heavy.
Well, they're saying that it's a number of factors. One, he hasn't played a lot of football, and two, they're probably just not confident that he can get through the 80. Well, they're confident he could get through, but they're saying that it's a duty of care to them that they want to see him more football behind him. So, I don't know how serious he's suffered these concussions. I know he's gone to Canada. Yeah. He's got looked at. They've given him the okay. So I think what we need to do is obviously have Kalen in the hands of the medical experts to make those decisions. And if they're saying he's okay to play, that's fine.
That's what you'd like to think. That
Billy's got to weigh it all up, and he probably feels as though Reece Walsh at the moment is the best option because I know physically he can probably get through it a little bit better than what Kalen can at the moment. Caleb might be a bit timid in his mind when he's watched him closely because I'm assuming Billy's, well, he would have watched him extremely close over the last couple of games.
And Brad from Broadbeach on the text line, morning men, have we forgotten how brutal Game 3 was last year? Head knocks, concussions, etc. as a Queenslander, Kalen would have been a massive risk in an Origin contest, says Brad.
But that's my point. Okay, so his career's over at the highest level because he's had that many head knocks. You're not going to be able to pick him in. You're not going to be different in Game 2 or Game 3 or next year. Like, if he's too vulnerable to head knocks, I'm questioning, then how can we sit here and say the Knights doctors, if a Knights doctor is saying he's safe and fit and healthy to play in the NRL?
Yeah, well, he'll be playing this week.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say his career's over. No way in the world. I think you've just got to see how he goes over the next few weeks. And I think if he comes out and just absolutely brains it in the next couple of weeks and Queensland get beaten, I've got no doubt that Kalen will be back in that Queensland team.
Billy Slater yesterday saying he's adamant, he's comfortable knowing it is the right decision to leave Ponga out, that having a duty of care for Ponga's well-being was a factor, but he also has to play a bit more football, Slater said yesterday on Kalen Ponga.
I think he'd be a bit more comfortable and confident if he receives some heavy knocks in the game and heavy tackles and gets up and jumps to his feet and plays the ball. I think then you start to get confident that everything's okay. But the fact that he's just come back and then he laid down in that game against Newcastle the other day, he probably was stunned. And I can understand the reasoning for him because he probably realises that if he gets up, stumbles, he's out of the game. And I think with a history of head knocks that he's had, you know, I'm assuming if you know you've got head knocks and you've had head knocks before, you're unsure of how bad it's going to be. So he probably just laid there at the start thinking, geez, I hope this is not bad. And gave himself a second or two to actually get his mind together. Because you can only imagine what was running through the mind when he was sort of stunned or lying there. So then he left the field, came back on. So I think what they'd want to see is just him being able to absorb that punishment a little bit more, and then they'd be confident to pick him. But if he doesn't and continually, you know, he's put in a HIH area for an assessment, then he could be in some trouble.
Surprised about Kirk Capel not getting picked, Loz. There was talk of an injury, but Billy Slater virtually conceded. Well, he was talking about the tough phone calls, and Kirk Capel was one of them. He's been awesome for Queensland the last 2-3. He's one of those, again, unheralded, reliable players for them.
Yeah. Oh, no, I wasn't sort of surprised, because I think that guys like Tom Gilbert, Kafusi, if he is available, and the form that Dave Fifita has been in, I think they were sort of hard to leave out. And you remember what Gilbert did in Game 3 last year.
Yeah, it was superb.
Like, he was basically unheralded last year. Not too many people knew it. Tom Gilbert. And then to come in and handle the Origin Arena like he did last year, I thought he would be in the mix. And I think he's been one of the Dolphins' best players. So, no, to answer your question, no, I wasn't surprised with Capel, but I was surprised with Gagai. Was the most surprising omission for me.
Lots on Tevita Pengai Jr. in the papers today, and back page, Daily Telegraph, True Blue, apologetic Pengai vows to rip in, back page of the Herald, the shock choice that wasn't Blue set to unleash Pengai Jr., and naturally a lot of focus on some comments he made a few years ago. Lots of some unusual comments they were at the time, talking about, you know, as a kid, he went for Queensland. You know, he loved, I think, Inglis and a couple of the others. How he offered Kevvy Walters if he needed anyone to run against him at Maroons training, he's available, etc. But he's put his hand up and said he was just being a bit young and immature.
Yeah, I think everyone was stunned at those comments at the time, because the only chance he had of playing State of Origin, if he was ever going to get there, was for New South Wales. Mm. So to come out and say he wanted to play for Queensland was a little bit surprising. Because he was a guy that was always sort of on the radar of being a good player with plenty of ability, but just a bit of a loose cannon. But we all mature and we all say silly things when we're younger. So obviously he regrets that now. Gets an opportunity to play for New South Wales. I don't think he'd be holding back on Wednesday night. I think they've got him in this team for a reason. That's to add aggression to the team. The only concern I would have, and I think we've seen it from time to time, is the aggression goes too far and you can give away silly penalties. And one thing you don't want to do is leave your team a man down in a close Origin contest, because that'll be the difference between winning and losing. So he's got to be careful, but you want them to play on the edge.
By the way, it looks like we'll be wearing a different strip to what we're used to. If they're the actual jumpers, for anyone who hasn't seen the papers yet or these promotional shots yet, looks like the New South Wales jersey is a dark navy with two thin sky blue stripes in the middle. So there you go. That's one for the kids to tug at the parents' jackets and just fork out of, what, another 170, 180 bucks. Get a new one.
Yeah, I've always been a big light blue.
Yeah,
New
sky
South Wales
blue. What's
the sky
doing?
Blue. You know, that. Yeah, I understand their reasons, though, because they make a lot of money. Mido,
looks like a new spot. Looks like Puma didn't do the jerseys last year, did they?
I wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah,
sure.
I don't think Puma did. Westpac, so that's what they've done. Right. They've got
Jono
a new brand
tells me they
as
did.
Well. Puma did.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Maybe that could be why they've made that change. But there's always risk when you change a jersey. Some people are going to like it. Some people aren't. But looks like they're playing for Westpac more than New South Wales. How big's that Westpac sign on their stomach?
Cha-ching.
Yep, cash is king.
On the back page of the Courier Mail, it's my time. So amidst all the talk about Caelan Ponga, it's over to Reece Walsh. Walsh declares he's ready for baptism of fire. Why I won't be a one-hit wonder. Blues can target me at own risk. So he said shed some tears when Billy Slater told him of his selection, added it's now his jumper to lose. Reece Walsh, you remember he was going to play a couple of years ago as a, what, an 18-year-old, but suffered a hamstring injury in camp just before, I think it was a day or two before the game.
There's not many more exciting young players in the game than Reece Walsh. He's got speed.
Yeah.
And he always puts defenders on edge, in particular when you're defending three or four in. His ability to skip to the outside and make you make a decision as a defender and create that man on the outside, that extra man on the outside, is second to none. The other area of his game that's improving, and Queensland will look to expose New South Wales, will be through the ruck area, through the middle. If they get tired and lazy, just through his speed, you know, that inside ball, New South Wales will be very, very wary. If they see Reece Walsh hanging around the middle, they need to be tight around the ruck. And that's where Tedesco comes into play, by identifying where Reece Walsh is. And if he's anywhere around the middle, then your A and B defender, your, you know, ruck defenders need to be tight. Otherwise, you just get blown away.
I reckon Billy Slater sees more of himself in Reece Walsh than any other player to ever play the game.
Probably right.
I reckon this is 100%. He will mentor him. He will guide him. He'll continue to help. I reckon he sees himself in Reece Walsh. And he knows how good a player he was.
Already MG's not happy about the jersey, by the way. Can someone tell me why New South Wales are wearing Victorian colours? The jersey's disgusting. Dark navy, blue kids won't know. We are sky blue, says MG at Penrith. Just on Reece Walsh as well. Morning, boys. I think Billy has made the best decision for Queensland. Ponga hasn't played fullback all season. Walsh has picked himself on form. Queensland finally have some kind of depth, and selection decision is now a hot topic. We aren't used to talking about selection issues. Juicy 225. Go Queensland, says Hambone at Gladstone. We'll be back out to 220 with Tab. New South Wales at $1.67. Queensland did get in to 215 yesterday, but the Lions 2.5, Queensland the plus for game one Wednesday week, and already north of 70 markets open with Tab for the game. Now, on the back page of The Australian, this huge story that emerged last night in the AFL, Premiership coach Hardwick quits is the headline there. So Damien Hardwick expected this morning that it'll be announced that he'll coach against Port Adelaide Sunday at the MCG, and that'll be it. 307th game he coached on Saturday night, a one-point defeat against Essendon, which left them 14th on the ladder with three wins to start the season. As mentioned earlier, three flags in 4 years there at the Tigers. 2017, when they smashed the Adelaide Crows. 2019, when they obliterated GWS. And then in the COVID-affected year of 2020, when they beat Geelong at the Gabba in the grand final. He is the club's longest-serving coach, 13 and a half years.
Why mid-season?
I think he's got to the point where he just can't take this group any further. And I reckon another reason is the fact that some big calls have got to be made on some significant players. And I reckon he's, well, A, he's burnt out. And B, I reckon going forward, because he knows he hasn't got much time left, get someone else in who can make the call on the list going forward, rather than himself.
Could he not do that and announce he's finishing up at the end of the season?
Well, he would think it's someone else's call to make on the list if he's not going to be there.
No, I agree with that. But by him saying that, that allows the club to find a new coach who can make these calls while he finishes the season. I just find it, I don't know, I just, to me, start of the season, end of a season. I don't get it. Like,
it's unusual for a coach. Usually they're sacked during the season.
And maybe that's why I've always said, if in doubt, retire. As a player, as a coach, if in doubt, get out. Get out earlier rather than late. If there's any doubt that you can't make it through the season, get out. Mm. Once you say yes, once you take on that responsibility, then you have to finish the season. Surely.
Yeah,
so unless there's something else to it.
He's contracted through to the end of next year. I think he's had a lot off the field in his personal life as well.
If there's more to it, then play on. I'm just saying, in regards to coaching or playing, like, I just don't get the halfway through a series retiring. Injured? Got it. Personal reasons? Got it. Mental health? Got it. Mm. But if it's not that, like all these major decisions for the club, can still be made while he finishes it. Like, a new coach comes in now. I can't imagine they've got a new coach just sitting there waiting. This would be, they're just getting told this now. They've got to find a new coach. So, actually, be it'll help the club if he could finish the season, I would imagine. So, to me, there must be more to it.
I'm sure he'll probably tell us all today. No doubt he'll front a press conference, but there's a huge story, Loz.
Oh, well, three-time premiership winning coach.
Genius.
You know, he's been there for, what, this is his 14th year. He's the longest-serving Richmond coach. And, yeah, he's probably had enough and probably feels as though he can't take this list further. But I'm probably a bit like you. I think there's some big calls to be made. When you're having a season like they've had and they weren't expected to be this poor, you know, guys like Trent Cotchin, Dustin Martin, Jack Riewoldt, who have won premierships.
Heroes at that club.
Yeah, and won premierships for him and would have a strong relationship with. He probably feels as though, you know what, they've bled for me, these blokes. They've won comps for me. It's going to be a difficult conversation. I don't want to do it. And I'm busted. I'm mentally fatigued. I need a change. It's probably a good time for him.
Give us a call, 1353 53. Just on the text line here, Morning Legends, question for Loz. How does Freddie play Hines off the bench given he's a starting seven at the Sharks? I've got a terrible feeling if we lose game one, then Nico will become the scapegoat for the team, just like what happened to both Stags and Cody previously. Cheers, Dino from the Gong, sending that one through. So just on Nico Hines, Brad Fittler on 100% footy on 9 last night said he'll be prepared as a hooker. So that seems to be his role, which is interesting if he's prepared as a hooker. I know he's there to give cover across a variety of positions.
I can see two pre-planned roles for him. So one is obviously hooker, but then he's got to do a lot of defending in the middle. And going from ruck to ruck when you've never done it before can take a lot out of you. If you've got to play for an extended period, it's different if it's only 5 to 10 minutes, you'll get through it and do that okay. But if you've got to go 15, 20 minutes, it will. It'll make a massive difference. Or I can see him coming on as a lock and just providing a bit more of a threat as well, and using Isaiah Yeo still in the team. Possibly maybe pushing him to an edge or defending on an edge, depending on where Nico might sit himself in the defensive line, but being an extra ball player if they need points. So just putting him on in the back row and just playing a floating role. So he can team up with a fullback on one side, whereas Yeo, Cleary, Luai might be on one side, whereas he might go with Tedesco down another side of the field. Just so it gives him a bit more variety in attack. It's hard to defend when you've got that extra ball player as a 13. So that could be a role for him. Other than that, I think it's just suck it and see. I don't think there'd be a pre-planned rotation for him because you'd think that Appy's going to play as long as he can. And as long as he's service and he gets through the work rate and he's not fatiguing, I think they'll keep him out there as long as they possibly can.
Newcastle and Leicester is still scoreless in the Premier League. 52 minutes gone. Just a story I didn't get to on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald. Socceroos Inc. China match with Argentina. So this is a great boost for the Socceroos. They're set to play the world champions, Argentina, who of course beat us 2-1 in that thrilling round of 16 match at the World Cup last year. The match is June 15. So that is less than a month in Beijing. And Code Sports saying that the Argentina manager, Lionel Scaloni, had input in picking Australia as opponents in a match that's been brokered by Chinese interests. So great to see the Socceroos get that opportunity. And hopefully this just shows as well to particularly our government that, well, it's time to give the Socceroos a national base, which they should dearly have.
I think they need a base, but also it's great news for soccer fans, the fact that we get to play these teams like Argentina in friendlies, because it'll make us better. You know, if you get to play against the legends and the World Cup holders, it is only going to make you better as a football nation and our players better when they come up against them in bigger tournaments. And we don't get to see it that often. And when we do, we always tend to rise to the occasion. So well done to the people who organised it, and I think the players would be quite excited, regardless of where they're playing Argentina. You're playing the world champions. Hopefully Messi will be part of it.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's part of the deal,
apparently.
He's
going to play, is he?
Yeah, part of the deal. If this Chinese company that's clearly bankrolling the match,
yep.
They're like, are we going to bankroll it? He's got to play.
We need him there.
Yeah, and fair enough, too. Just last night as well, Loz at the, well, they have a, is it the True Blues dinner?
Yep.
Great to see Mick Cronin and Denny Badiris added to the New South Wales Rugby League Hall of Fame.
Oh, outstanding. Both those players. I remember Mick Cronin playing for country, I think in 73, when they beat City for the first time. And then went on and had a fantastic career at Origin level, or New South Wales level, and then playing for Australia. He formed a wonderful combination in the centres with Steve Rogers. That was a combination that played for Australia for a long period of time. Then, of course, you know, won a number of premierships with Parramatta, a legendary figure in the game. And Denny Badiris, one of the great hookers of all time. You know, Bedsy was a guy that was just tough, very skillful, turned himself into a hooker, captain New South Wales, and highly competitive. And I think he's on the staff up there at Newcastle still, and I think he's a part of the New South Wales Origin team. Staff. So he's still involved in the game. Wonderful person, as is Mick, and congratulations to both of them.
Just some cricket news, pup. Still some question marks over Josh Hazlewood heading towards the World Test Championship final in the Ashes. He missed the last IPL match for his side with side soreness, which is an issue he's had in recent times, although apparently he's available for selection. Cricket Australia adamant he's fit and available, and it's not actually a strain, just some soreness. He flew home early. And, of course, he's had Achilles issues as well. He did take 20 wickets at 21.85 in four tests back in 2019. We know how good a bowler he is. Yeah. Scott Boland's there waiting in the wings, of course, if he's not fit. But he's just struggled to get his body right in test cricket for a couple of years now, hasn't he?
Yeah, look, he's brilliant when he's fit, Josh. And has been. I don't know how he's not going to be underdone. That's my only concern. Mm. That's not fair, because I know what they do. The bowlers, the quicks, even when they're over there at IPL, they don't bowl four overs in preparation for the IPL game and then go home. You know, they know with Test match cricket around the corner, they'd be bowling 15, 20 overs in the nets, going for it. Yeah, centre wicket practice, whatever they can get. So I'd imagine he's got a lot of work under his belt in regards to training. It's now just taken into the game. But yeah, mate, you're bowling 130, 540 Ks, you're going to have soreness, whether it be your side, your calf, your Achilles, your back. It all hurts. So yeah, I don't think there's too many concerns. Right now it's just if he's got enough practice, I think he needs game time. I actually think he needs, you know, two tour games for Josh Hazlewood would be unbelievable, leading into the Test Championship and then in preparation for the first Test. But, yeah, unfortunately, there's not that time. Cricket Australia decided to have no tour games. So, his first Test is going to be the Test Championship. I think they pick him for that. And then see how he pulls up in preparation for that first Ashes Test match. But, yeah, look, we're in a good position because of the stock we have around him. Michael Nisa, he's taken wickets and making runs over there at the moment. Scott Boland has done everything in his power to, you know, to put his hand up and say, pick me as a front line quick. I don't want to wait behind these big three. I'm good enough. I'm performing well enough. So we're in good hands. We've got good stock. And hopefully everyone's available for selection.
England quick Ollie Robinson, ankle injury in a recent county match as well, in a moon boot. So he'll be monitored by them. He's certainly been talking a big game in the lead up to the Ashes.
Well, that's another injury. They've got him in a moon boot. They've got Anderson out with a groin strain. Mm. They've got Jofra Archer's been ruled out of the series. So, you know, Ben Stokes can't bowl by the sounds of it. So even though there's time for them before the first test, it's not the greatest preparation.
No, they've got issues. Mm. Ollie Stone's another contender. He's got a hamstring injury, I think. So,
like it.
Yeah, England, like it. Some issues for sure heading towards Edgbaston, not far away. Now, what have we got on the text line here? Hey, lads, with all the talk about having a club halves pairing is the way to go for New South Wales. Queensland's never had to do it, and they've embarrassed New South Wales for many years. But if Cleary was to go down injured, Nico would be the seven to replace him. Would you drop Luai and also bring in Matt Moylan, or keep Luai there? You're a professional footballer. If you can't pair up with another half to play Origin, are you even a good half? No name to that one. Look, it's just not the obvious laws that, you know, when you got winning combinations there in 6 and 7, they've won premierships together. They're both in good form individually as well. You pick them.
Well, you do. And when you come into camp, in terms of when you've got your 13, 7, 6, and Appy's played for them the last few years, that quartet of players, your training sessions run a lot smoother. You know, you understand that the combinations are there. And it's not the be-all and end-all. If you've got someone that's, you know, shooting the lights out, that's playing for another club at six, and you think that he's definitely your man that could complement the other half, then you've got no worries in going with him. But just with Penrith, the way they're going at the moment, they're winning competitions, they're on top of the competition table, why break up that combination? Because when you walk into camp, everyone else fits in around them, and that's what will happen here. So you don't have to spend 1 or 2 days prepping everyone on how you want to play. They get out there, these guys will tell everyone what to do. They'll get into their formation a lot quicker than what they normally would.
Someone suggesting, well, Hemo, maybe give Joe Angel a call up, pup.
Not the worst. Big Joey.
Big Joe.
Yeah. Just hit the top of your bat. Go forward to block it.
Yeah, I reckon he would have been awkward to face.
Oh, he was tough, especially at the whacker. Back of a length, hard to go forward to, quick enough. Bowl all day. Used to jump wide of the crease, had angled into your ribs as a right-handed batsman. Not fun. They had some. What a team they had as well. Brendan Julian, Tom Moody, Brad Wilson. He was quick. Willow in his day. Hussey, Kadich, Ryan Campbell, Gilly when he wasn't playing for Australia. They had a good team.
There you go.
Back in the heyday.
The heyday when we used to know all the Sheffield Shield players.
Yep.
From the tab, Jared Duffy. Duff, a very good morning to you.
Morning, team.
Let's start with Origin. How's the money looking? I'm guessing Queensland being the outsider, the money's heading in that direction. The punters like value.
This is really weird. They're $2.20 still, $1.67 for New South Wales, a line there of 2.5 points in favour of the Blues. I said last week 80% of the money's for Queensland. It's now 90% of the money that's been bet on the game is for Queensland.
Unbelievable.
Staggering.
Yeah, as you know, Daff, it's rugby league punters, though, you find early in the week or, you know, a period out from the actual event, they just back the outsider. But as the game gets nearer, naturally the money will come for the favourite.
Isn't
that generally the trend?
That's what happens. When we talk about this next week, next Tuesday, obviously 24 hours out, it'll be a lot closer together, but I can't see it getting to the extent where New South Wales will hold more money than Queensland.
And Daff, is it not strange? Everyone's sitting here saying Adelaide's more of a home game for Queensland than it is New South Wales.
Yeah, that's right. I think most view it that way. Clarkie, obviously, there'll be a lot of people travelling interstate, but I think predominantly most of that 50,000 plus crowd will be.
Amazing.
Will be locals, and having that alignment with AFL and Victoria, etc. I think they'll stick with Queensland. Mm-hmm. So, might be a little bit of a cauldron there, but plenty of these sides have been able to win away from home before a parochial anti crowd. So, it's going to be a fascinating night. It really is.
Daff, what was the feeling up there yesterday when Billy announced his team? More about the fact that Ponga was left out, Gagai was left out, because there had been. Mainstays of that team.
I don't know whether the Ponga one was that big of a surprise, given he got that head knock at the weekend loss. And I think people can live with Reece Walsh. The Dane Gagai one was probably a bigger piece of news. People were just shocked because, obviously, Queensland have built a history of, I don't know whether loyal, well, I suppose loyal is the right word, sticking with the players that they know. That's a bit of a changing of the guard there. But having said that, I mean, it's still a good side on paper. Plenty of flack around about whether the 14 should have got a start from the Titans.
Oh, Tino.
No. Tino, not Tino, sorry.
14.
So the Jai Arrow, Cotter, Tino, and Harry Grant. That was the bench.
That's the bench.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Tino was probably a little bit lucky to get off.
You're thinking David Fifita.
Fifita, sorry. Yeah. I just had a mental block. Yeah, a lot of talk about whether he should be in or not, but you know, he gets his moment to shine as well. But at the moment, punters quite happy to be with Queensland.
What about these NRL games then on the weekend? South and the Raiders and the Warriors and the Broncos. Who'll start favourites in those games?
Well, South are the outsiders. I'll deal with that one first. It's the last one Saturday night. They're $2.05 outsiders. Canberra $1.77, and the Broncos game. Well, they're $2.85 already. The Warriors $1.43. That one's in Napier, by the way. A line of 7 points in favour of New Zealand. I suppose worth pointing out for those who don't know, the prices might seem a bit weird given the form that we've seen so far this season in some of these matches. But of course, the Origin stars won't be able to play just the five matches this week.
Tell you what's fraught with danger: punting on club footy during Origin.
I can't believe the Raiders are favourites.
There's always upsets.
Yeah.
Always upset. So I think they overprice or overcompensate for those that are out.
Might be the time to start betting then, Daff.
Might be.
Take your blokes on.
Not stop. Hey, here's a good one for you. Who's going to run last? Price-wise at the moment, the Dragons are 215.
Not the Tigers, Daff.
No, I don't think so, Clarkie. They're 275. 4 or 5 weeks ago, they were $1.30. Yeah. And I think we're on the verge of paying that one out. I'm glad we didn't because, they're flying at the moment. And then we've got the Bulldogs at $10, the rest at $21 or better. But she's very congested down there at the bottom of the ladder.
What are the Knights? The value bet. Yes. They're the value bet.
What are the
100%.
Knights? 100%.
Yeah. Who?
The Knights.
Newcastle.
They're $10.
They're a chance.
They are a chance.
Because you get
like
the feeling.
I just don't know how this season's going to unfold from here. That's all. Like, Kalen missing out, Gagai missing out, Saifidi brothers missing out. There's some talk about Newcastle offloading Saifidi and Bradman Best. I just don't know how it's all going to play out for Newcastle. I'll either all bunker down and get on with the season, or there could be some
look out
animosity starting to build.
It's hard to believe the Cowboys are there in the market at $21, given they were one of the best backsiders. They were into $12 to win the whole thing before the season started, but the wheels are falling off there as well.
In the AFL, obviously huge news overnight in regards to Richmond, who are out to 50-1 to win the flag. That won't be happening this year. Damien Hardwick reportedly set to step down. It'll be announced today, but Collingwood just continues to firm at the top of the market.
One of my men told me 4 or 5 weeks ago, I forget where I said it, but I definitely mentioned it at the time, that there was talk that Hardwick would be going to the Suns. That would be a huge get if that was to happen, because their form's been hot and cold. So watch this space there. But as far as the flag is concerned, Jared Collingwood, 375, so they've shortened up again. Brisbane going along nicely. They're equal second picks at 5, along with Melbourne. Geelong ordinary again at the weekend at 8. Then a couple of really big moves. Port Adelaide into 10, the Western Bulldogs into 13. And just on Port Adelaide, the Brownlow medal, Nick Dacos, the $3 favourite there. But Zach Butters from Port Adelaide, now he would have got the 3 votes again at the weekend. He's $12, so his fifth pick 3 weeks ago, he was $251. So he's in the mix for the Brownlow as well.
What about the NBA? I think the Lakers are gone, and so are Boston, aren't they?
Unbelievable what's happened with Boston or how good Miami have been again after disposing of the Bucks. Now, today, the Lakers, well, they've got to win. $1.65, Denver $2.30. That one tomorrow, well, Miami can wrap it up. They're at home. Their favourites, $1.85, Boston at $2. And to win the big dance, Denver $1.50 now. Miami $3.25. They've been outsiders all the way through the final series. But $3.25, the Celtics at $13 now and the Lakers $21.
Yeah, the Celtics gave up yesterday. They put up the white flag against the 8th seed. They absolutely packed it in. Daff, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks so much.
See you, guys.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast and this huge Premier League game this morning with implications for the top four and also relegation, particularly with Leicester City. Is scoreless. 76 minutes in at St James's Park. So with the live ladder, that would move Newcastle. Well, that would ensure a Champions League spot. It would be locked in. It's virtually locked in anyway. But they're on 70 points as it stands in the live ladder with their last game ahead of them. 4 points clear of fifth place Liverpool. Leicester, well, they'd move up to 18th, still in the relegation zone, but on 31 points, two behind Everton heading into the final day. Who's Everton got in the final day? They've got Bournemouth at home, Leeds host Tottenham, Leicester hosts West Ham in the bid to avoid the drop coming up on Sunday night / Monday morning our time. Nothing like a good relegation battle if your team's not involved on the last day of the season. Yesterday in the NBA, just mentioned it when Jared Duffy was on, but Boston put up the white flag. They went 3-0 down in the Eastern Conference Finals. They lost to the Miami Heat in Miami, 128-102. And today, Denver can clinch their first ever NBA Finals appearance in franchise history with victory in LA against the Lakers. And the market with Tab as the Lakers $1.65, Denver $2.30. Stacks of markets open for that match. The line is a flat 3. Denver the plus. In fact, there's already a market open for finals MVP and Nikola Jokic, $1.55. Nice and short. Jimmy Butler, $3.50. You get the feeling it'll be one of those two. Jamal Murray of Denver's $6 if you're looking ahead to the finals, not far away. We're going to preview the Tab, or the state final of the Tab Regional Championships with Dave Watson, the Club Menangle Racing Manager, soon. But give us a call, 1353 53. Send us a text, 0419 767 272. Certainly a lot of texts here in regards to Origin. Morning, boys. Can I ask Laurie what the plan would be for New South Wales if we lose a centre? Asks Ash from Eleanora Heights, sending that one through. And obviously you got Turbo and Latrell in the centres.
I'd say they'd probably push if we lost a centre. Was that the question?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say Nico will just go straight to the centres. I'd say he'll just go. Look, they could put Cam Murray there, but you lose his effectiveness. Cam through the middle will be outstanding. I think both benches are very, very good. Like, you look at Queensland, Harry Grant, Tino, Ruben Cotter and Jai Arrow, they all offer something a little bit different. Tino, you got that power. Cotter, you got speed, work rate. Jai Arrow, you've got work rate, offload, and then you've got the scheming and creative sort of Harry Grant with his deception around the ruck area. And then when you look at New South Wales bench, you've got Liam Martin, who brings the power and speed. You've got Paulo with the size. You've got Murray with his footwork. And then you've got Nico Hines with his skill. So I think if a centre went down, Nico would go straight into that position.
Tevita Pengai, does he definitely start? Or to use him off the bench. Phil Gould on 100% footy last night, adamant, but of course he's there with him at Canterbury, adamant that he should be starting. He is listed it as number 8 in the starting pack. But I think
New South Wales said last year they played too nice, I think, after one of those Origin games. It might have been after the first Origin game. And Queensland just dominated them through the middle, and they played like an NRL game. So if I take that on board, I would say that no, he'll start and they will go with an aggressive style early. They'll want to get in the faces of the Queensland team. They won't back down, him and Payne Haas. They've got to be careful, though. It's not like the old days where you can have a blue and punch on. I mean, you do that now, you find yourself in the sin bin. So you've got to be careful with your aggression. You still need to bring it, but it's got to be controlled because you can't be giving away silly errors.
One per game.
Oh, there'll be a lot of people that agree with you.
Remember the Gagai Burton situation in game 3 last year?
Yeah, it's all right.
Where they just tried to rough up Burton, tried to defend himself.
Oh, mate, come on. Poor Matt. I think he'd be okay.
Oh, yeah.
No, one per game.
Clearly targeting.
One per game.
Well, it worked.
So I think, and if I remember correctly too, a lot of the momentum shift last year happened when some of the players came off the bench. In particular, game one, New South Wales were dominant at the footy at Acor Stadium, and then the likes of Carrigan came onto the field.
Yeah, Carrigan was...
And they made an instant impact, and I reckon that's something that both coaches would have looked at and thought, you know what, we need to be strong with our bench because we can start strong and then we can continue that on when we make our interchanges after, you know, 18 to 23 minutes. That'll give us that momentum we need into half time. So I reckon that's one of the reasons why they've sort of elected the benches they have.
And speaking about last year's series, Brad Fittler last night saying game one last year, which was a 16-10 defeat for the Blues in Sydney, was probably the most disappointing performance since he's been coach, that the Blues lacked hunger. Whereas whilst in game three, he sort of said that we had a young side that just didn't handle the pressure. And you could see that being there at the game. They panicked in the second half when the heat went on them.
Well, they started making unforced errors.
They didn't need to be passing the ball
when they were. Yeah. They just needed to stick to the grind of Origin football, which is usually set for set. And they didn't do that at all. They wanted to attack from inside their own half, which is good if it allows you to do that. But sometimes you go through a period in an Origin game where it's just do your best. It's just get forward kick. And hope that the other team comes up with an error and you get the ball back and you can start your set in a reasonable position so you can put pressure on them by tackle five with a good kick. And then you start to work your way back into the game like that. But if you don't and you try to make things happen and the other team are up in your face and they're putting pressure on you, you'll shoot yourself into foot. And that's what New South Wales did in game three.
No doubt about that. Morning, fellas. If Nicho Hynes is expected to play as backup hooker, why didn't Robson or even Cody Walker be better options, or stuck with Cook as Appy hasn't been playing 80, says Brett from Penrith. Look, just got to weigh it up and make a call.
Well, there's never a right or a wrong way. Exactly right. And you just don't know what's going to happen. You know, Appy, you could have, say, picked Cookie on the bench or Appy on the bench and one of them get injured in the first minute. And it's a genius decision because you carried a hooker. But if you carry a hooker and an outside back goes down early, you can look pretty stupid. So what they've done with Nicho is put him on there because he covers a number of positions. Has he played a number of those positions before? Not a lot. But you know what? You've got to roll the dice somewhere and you've got to cover for everything. You've got to cover for head knocks. You've got to try and cover for someone to play at 7, 6, fullback, 9. So whichever way they go, it's unfortunate. You just don't know how the game's going to pan out. And sometimes that 14 is hard to get into the game, but you've got to have him there just in case something happens.
The critic says the Maroons team looks a 10 times better informed side than the Blues side. Freddie's team looks like a side of unfit, out of four players. The $2.20 for Queensland is the bet of the year. Wow. That's a big call, says the critic. I think we both agree they're over the odds at this stage.
I think it should be closer together, like all Origin contests. There's not much between the two teams, and it'll come down to the moments and what team grabs those moments. New South Wales coming off the back of a loss last year. And I'll get back to that game one. I thought in the opening 20 minutes they were in total control. And then when the benches came on for Queensland, that turned it around. And New South Wales lost momentum. Then in game two, I thought they were dominant. In game three, we just self-imploded. We just made too many errors, in particular at the back end of the field. So, yeah, a lot of those players were there last year or would have been watching it on TV. They would have identified those areas themselves. And I'm pretty sure that won't be happening this time around. But Queensland, never underestimate them. It'll be a tight game. Adelaide Oval, this time of year, might be a little bit slippery
as well. Yeah, it will be.
So they'll need to take that into consideration, in particular defending around the middle of the ruck. You know, players with good footwork and speed. That's why I see Cam Murray being so effective for New South Wales off the bench, playing through the middle.
All right, well, the TAB Regional Championships in harness come to a conclusion with the state final at Tabcorp Park, Menangle, this Saturday night. It's over the 2,400 metres, and joining us is the Club Menangle Racing Manager, Dave Wanson. Dave, very good morning to you. Hello, Dave. We got you?
Yeah, you got me.
Yeah, good morning, Dave. Yeah, great to have you on the show again, mate. Describe how successful this concept, the TAB Regional Championships, has been.
It's been great. About 3 years ago, it was going to be a $1 million race, but a one-off. As we know, COVID hit. So we had to come up with a different concept. John Dumasine Harness Racing New South Wales came up with what was the regional concept. So there was $400,000 finals in each region. In that first year, horses couldn't travel, so the finals were just maintained in those regions. 2 years ago, John came up with another concept, and that was called state final. So the first three place getters from all those finals come together at Menengle Park for what is a state final. And it's just grown and grown. It's something that all the regions look forward to each year. It's for a restricted horse, but they get the race for great prize money.
And tell us about the quality of the field that we're going to get.
Yeah, look, it's a restricted field, so it's up to 70 rating. So it's horses on their way through. But there's some horses that have only had 7 or 8 starts. All of a sudden, they're racing for $200,000 in prize money.
Yeah.
But there's one filly, a mare, that I actually like a little bit, Patsy Valentine. It's only had a handful of starts. It's already won $50,000. Mm-hmm. That's a big chance of taking home the $55,000 winner's check on Saturday. That's what's so good about it. It's not just going to your King of Swings and those really expensive Vigos and stuff like that. It's going to the up-and-comers, and anyone can participate in it, as long as the horse is Australian bred, trained in the state. Mm-hmm. Anyone can participate in it.
Yeah, Dave, I was going to ask, obviously Saturday's going to bring a lot of attention. What can the punters expect who are going to be there on the weekend?
Look, it's a great initiative, and TAB are right behind it. So there's going to be a lot of jackpots going into the race as well. But we've got some fantastic facilities, as you know, there at Menengle. We've got the restaurant, which has just gone a rehaul of the menu there. So it's a great feed there now. We're getting that full all the time. All the owners will be looked after, so there's actually a function. There'll be people from the TAB coming along. All the owners are invited to come along. They'll be informed this week on what they're entitled to, and we should have a good crowd and definitely some great racing as well. We've got some really good free-for-allers going around. The return of Bondi Lockdown and Better Zip It, that just won the $1 million race over in Western Australia. He'll be competing as well for Jason Grimson.
After Saturday's meeting, though, Dave, what else is on at the club that punters can look forward to?
Look, it gets a bit cold at Menengle during the winter months. but, yeah, mate, we're racing every Saturday night. It's free entry. But from a club perspective, it's really busy. We've got the Eureka September 2, $2.1 million TAB Eureka. I think there's another slot holder going to be announced this morning. I won't say who it is, but that's exciting. So there's only a few slots left to go. Behind the scenes, there's a lot happening with that, Laurie. I'm sure you guys will be involved in the lead-up to that as well with the Big Sports Breakfast and a lot of other TAB and Sky Channel promotions set for launch in the lead-up to that. So, as I said, behind the scenes, really busy. It's going to be full steam ahead with that. Another slot holder announced this morning. It's really exciting and really looking forward to it.
Yeah, coming up September 2, the $2.1 million TAB Eureka, the inaugural running of it at Club Menengle. One to watch out for, but first and foremost, get to the track there at Menengle Saturday night, Dave.
Yeah, no, it's a really good night's racing. First race is about 5:15, free entry. Come along, it'll be a good night.
Great stuff. Appreciate your time as always.
No worries.
Dave Wonson there, the racing manager at Club Menengle. Jared. How is your bet on North Queensland top eight going after last weekend? Well, not very well, Gary, at Newcastle. I think we're putting the pen through them. Are we putting the pen through the Roosters? Brandon Smith's out for 7 to 8 weeks, broken thumb.
What a blessing in disguise. I reckon this is exactly what they've needed, the Roosters.
Jeez.
They either had to bite the bullet and move him to 13, which is probably not going to happen, or play 14, play off the bench, or have an injury to see what it looks like on the other side. I reckon this could be a blessing in disguise.
Wow. No, they got the bye this week.
I'm not prepared to write them off.
Do you think they can turn it around and win the comp?
Well, put it this way, Middo. They are 2 points behind the sixth place team. So after the horrible start they've had,
and they're only 2 points away from sixth position. I would say they're going to improve between now and the end of the year. So if they do that and win more games, I think they play finals football. I think the possibility of finishing top four...
Which is might, where they've got to finish, let's
yeah,
face it.
Yeah, might be a bit of a stretch. But when you look at the Broncos, who are in fourth position, are on 16 points. So, look, and I know, you know, they've won more games than the Roosters, three more games, because they've had... the Broncos haven't had a bye. But, you know, the Storm have only won two more games than the Roosters. So I can still see the Roosters, if they get their best team there, they work out what's going on with them. And, you know, it's a big job for Trent Robinson, because he's in charge of that team. And a lot of people have been questioning the decisions that he's made in terms of the makeup of the side and what's needed. They've got a bye this weekend. They can reload, get Manu back, refocus, and win games. If they can win three and four in a row, they'll put themselves in a position to make the eight. I think any team, when you go on a winning run of three or four, you push yourself right up that ladder pretty quickly, because there's a lot of upsets, and there'll continue to be upsets all the way through the year.
Don't forget Radley suspended as well. It's just... Yeah. Not many good omens there at the Roosters at the moment.
You're going to write them off, are you?
I'm nearly penning them.
Right, yeah.
No
I'm
way.
Nearly penning them. No yeah. I haven't yet. I just penned the Cowboys, and I put it to you, the Roosters. Are you penning them?
No way.
Jeez, that's a brave man, Middo.
I didn't. I said I'm not yet.
All good the big you. Teams, all the big teams are losing some players to Origin anyway. So Roosters are losing them to injury.
Something's clearly been wrong at the Roosters.
Of course, but
clearly.
Listen. From your experience in life, yeah. When you have a problem, can you fix it?
Yes.
I thought so. So the Roosters might have some problems.
I just said, you know, I'm not penning them
and it's,
yet.
And it's you not a 12-week competition.
You
it's
know
a
when you get
round competition.
Duck.
100.
You're a minute closer to 100, 200, 300. Yeah. So come on, Roosters.
Well, you know,
flick the switch.
Well, Adam Pengilly, he was close to that 100 at Western Suburbs. Then you came along and ruined his career.
See, you're looking at it glass half empty. I got...
You never got another chance.
He never would have played first grade without me. Look at it glass half full. That's why Adam loves me so much. He's appreciative of what
ruined
I did for him.
You ruined his career. He never got that chance. Adam Pengilly, morning to you.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. Can I just bring something quickly to the table this morning? I was at the True Blues dinner last night, where they inducted Danny Badiris and the Crow, Michael Cronin, into the Hall of Fame. And they played this big slideshow of all of New South Wales's famous players and moments and everything like that. And I've got to say, almost half the photos they showed of L. Daly were him with his shirt off and his rig out in the dressing room after games.
Oh, really?
Not surprised.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you got to know where the camera is after a game.
Yeah.
You've got to get yourself in a position to be photographed without them actually knowing that they're taking your photo.
Gee, you always would have had a haircut the week of Origin.
I've told you that before.
Do you ever get caught taking your strides off when you shouldn't be? You know, sometimes in the background you see it on the cameras in the change. Well, you didn't have the camera in the change room,
did
you?
No, we never had the camera in the change room. I'll tell you what we did have. I don't know whether you would have had it when you were playing cricket. Might have been out of vogue then, but when I first started playing, like the journos would come into the sheds and they'd be interviewing you in the shower.
Yeah.
So you'd be having a shower.
And they'd be in there.
And they'd be in there taking notes.
Yeah, no wonder why you're tight with the journos.
Were you ever a journo when that was happening?
I can see why friendships have changed. That never happened in my day, mate.
I was a little bit too young for that, I think. But
you were bulldog showering together. You and the red dog.
Honestly, you'd be in the shower, you'd be soaping up, and the journo
doing
would be
interview.
1 or 2 metres away from you just asking you questions.
Amazing.
Yeah, that was pre-PC days.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that'd go
and
down.
Social media.
These days.
And everything else. Racing New South Wales yesterday announced more prize money increases, Adam.
It's not going to stop, Jared. We're moving from August 1. Saturday Metropolitan races are going to $160,000. I can remember only a couple of years ago when they were just ticked over the $100,000 mark. And it's crazy to think of that $160,000 at the moment. Obviously getting a bit of a bump up in those midweek prize money races up to about $60,000. But the thing I liked was a nice little move across the board for provincial prize money for a minimum stance going up to $42,000. So Racing New South Wales has been going down this path for many, many years now, Jared. They wanted to keep going. And we're hearing from Racing Victoria they're going to try and have some prize money cuts in the next 12 months or so, but certainly up here in Sydney, they're just going to keep bumping up this prize money until it probably reaches a point where they can't do it anymore.
I was going to say, it just seems like every month or so, New South Wales are just bumping the prize money up, and obviously Melbourne are trying to compete, or Victoria are trying to compete, but they just can't at the moment. But is one of the things they're trying to do down there is put an extra race on Saturdays?
Yeah, this is a really interesting story, Laurie, down in Victoria. I think they're facing a bit of a funding shortfall at the moment. They can see the wagering market's definitely softening at the moment, and probably their returns to the industry are going to be dropping a little bit in the next 12 to 24 months. And one of the ways they're trying to make up for that shortfall is potentially by adding an extra race to their Saturday programs in the city down there in Melbourne. So we've been at 10 races in Sydney for, it would be a couple of years now, I would have thought. And whether you like it or not, personally, I think it makes for an extremely long day having 10 races, but I do understand the reason why that most people are betting on a Saturday. Well, Victoria have come out and virtually put a proposal to the Victorian Jockeys Association saying, hey, we're thinking about going to 10 races on a Saturday. They're pushing back quite vigorously on that at the moment. I suppose one of the factors is that they have probably a lot more sort of twilight or night racing down there in Victoria. They have sort of twilight programs on a Wednesday. They do have night programs on a Thursday night and a Friday night for a lot of the year, particularly in summer, obviously, with Moonee Valley. And they're just saying the burnout factor on the jockeys is going to get to a point just beyond no return with an extra race on Saturday. So there's plenty of conversations that need to happen down there in Victoria at the moment, because I don't think I get any immediate sort of agreement on this sort of plan in the not-too-distant future down there in Victoria.
Ben Curry, tell us about his disqualification there in Queensland.
Yeah, really interesting story, Jared, in the News Limited papers today, that Ben Curry's been disqualified for 18 months over a horse that was trained by his father, Mark, that returned a positive to a cocaine late last year, called End Assembly, which won a listed race at Eagle Farm last year in December. And I think Ben Curry has been quietly put out of the game for 18 months after that. So he's got the right to appeal that, obviously, penalty to the appeals board up there in Queensland. But we know he's had a checkered history in the past, and just another twist in the Ben Curry saga, I suppose, over many years. So, yeah, wait to see how that plays out. But certainly not good news for Ben Curry up there in Queensland.
Thank you, mate. We'll chat tomorrow.
Thanks, boys. Chat tomorrow.